I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. One of the problems with living history is that you lack the perspective to really understand what's happening at the time. Well, we're certainly living history now, and we don't really have a full perspective. But I'm thinking that when they look back, historians will point to this week as an important one. Things are not going well in the United States of America. They're about as bad as I've ever seen things. We're in the midst of a catastrophic epidemic and a president who's just walked away from it. Literally walked away. He's not doing anything. Numbers are still going up in many parts of the country. And he's basically disbanded the coronavirus task force. They still exist, but they don't seem to actually meet. But what I really think will be remembered about this week as an inflection point is the way that Christianity and politics have come together this week in a particularly toxic fashion. We had the President of the United States order an attack on peaceful protesters, an attack that included tear gas. Now, tear gas is considered a weapon of war. It is hazardous. It causes harm. Rubber bullets are a weapon of war. They are hazardous. They can cause severe harm. These are not peacetime weapons. And who used these weapons of war on peaceful protesters? We don't fully know. The park police deny that it was them, but somebody did it. Because there were people who were tear gassed. Part of the problem is we don't know who's on the ground in Washington, D.C. There are policemen, maybe, but we don't know who they are. They've taken off their identification. This is the thing that's done in every country controlled by a tin pot dictator, an authoritarian. This is what they do, because when there is no accountability, the police can do whatever they want to you. Who are you going to complain to when you don't even know who those police work for, let alone their names? Now, I said long time ago, early on in the Trump administration, that he would find a way to incorporate the brown shirts into a private army, and that he would build a private army. Well, he's done that. Under the direct control of the Attorney General, Trump has brought his private army to Washington, D.C., with threats to send it to other parts of the country. Who are they? We don't know. What is their chain of command? We don't know. Who are they responsible to? Who has power over them? Who controls them? Who gives them their orders? We don't know, other than Bill Barr. But it was never intended for the Attorney General to be in control of a private army. That's insane. But that's where we are. And here's what I don't get about evangelical Christians. Trump is like the perfect candidate for the Antichrist. And he does this horrible thing to civilians, military helicopters coming in and swooping down on them and getting them in the rotor blasts. Just nightmarish scenes. He does all this so that he can clear the space so he can walk a short distance. I guess a long distance for him, considering how little he walks, so he could walk to a church where he was not invited, where he did not give a speech of any import, but he held the Bible, which is such a precious book to so many Americans. He held it up upside down and backwards. He held it as if he had never touched one before. Now, I know some people think, well, why didn't he burst into flame? Well, he would have to open it and read it aloud to do that. And since he hasn't burst into flame yet, we know he's never opened the Bible and read anything aloud. Now, come on, evangelicals. I know that you're way into the signs and wonders, and every time a hurricane strikes, it's because of the gays and God's vengeance against everybody because we don't hate the right people. But come on, if you want signs and wonders, how about this story? Happened just yesterday. Two National Guardsmen were injured in Lafayette Park when they were struck by lightning. And then lightning struck the National Monument. I don't see, if you believe in signs and wonders, how God could be making himself any more clear. So let's recap. The president, using a private, unidentified army that seems to only be answerable to the Attorney General, went in and cleared out peaceful protesters using violent and dangerous means so that he could cross the street, defile a church, and hold the Bible upside down and backwards. This is your great faith leader, evangelicals? I don't think you know which deity you're following and worshiping. And of course, all through the coronavirus, many faith leaders in the evangelical community have been leading people to their death and themselves, insisting that we congregate together in churches where super spreaders have been proven to very easily spread massively throughout the congregation. Then they go out and they spread it around to their community. And just as the Republicans don't want to say a word about Trump's clear transition into fascism on Monday, the faith community has been pretty quiet, but now the evangelicals are always going to be on the side of Trump until they disappear into the slime pit from whence they came. And I know that that's probably offensive to some people. I'm not attacking people of faith. I'm attacking evangelicals who act more like followers of Satan than they do of Christ. But for everyone else, they have an obligation to stand up. Some of them are over the George Floyd case. They're standing up to the president in Washington, D.C. But people of faith, religious leaders, need to come together and say, hey, this president is not a Christian. This president does not represent Christian values. And he is misleading the nation. And he has to go. Their silence is no longer acceptable. We need them to rise up as one voice. Yes, so far the few religious people who have come forward and complained about this president have gotten viciously attacked by evangelical leaders of faith. Don't worry about them. It's a badge of honor to be attacked by them. Let your voices rise higher. Chaos and crisis in the United States certainly hasn't encouraged the religious right to behave any better. In fact, I think they're behaving worse. The usual suspects came out from the world of the evangelicals to heap praise upon the newly fascist president. Robert Jeffress is one of them, of course. Franklin Graham praised him. Although, much to my astonishment, Pat Robertson actually condemned him. So, what the hell? I mean, it's hard to believe that Pat Robertson has developed a conscience this late in his life. So yeah, by and large, not a lot great coming from faith leadership. If you want to see what real faith leadership looks at, check out the speech by Reverend Al Sharpton at the George Floyd Memorial. That was faith leadership. That's something we just don't see enough of. But boy, if you want to see profiles in cowardice, there are all the videos of elected Republican senators literally running away from reporters, terrified that they'd have to answer any questions about the president that they have so enthusiastically supported. Certainly some of the most reprehensible, a few of them came forward like Cornyn and Rubio to defend the president, but mostly the criticism has been muted. The toughest critic is the terribly embattled Susan Collins of Maine, who I think at this point it doesn't matter what she says, she's still going to lose because everybody hates her. Now, I firmly believe that the more conservative you are in your faith, the more likely you are to support the president and his violations of all our norms. It's sort of ironic that they support the most immoral man ever to hold that office in this country. But I don't think our hope rests in trying to convince them. Evangelicals are just too uneducated, too blindingly locked into their mindsets to see the light. I mean, what can you do in a country where 22% of the people, and all of these people are Christian conservatives, 29% believe that if Democrats control the government, they'll lose their Christian freedoms, despite the fact that the vast majority of Democrats are Christians. And 22% of them, 22% of Americans, believe that if Democrats come into power, they will take away their Bibles. Those people are not educatable. We can't convince them or persuade them or make them better people. They are who they are. What we can do is outnumber them, rise up. This time around, everyone needs to vote. Everyone. And if you fail to vote out the people destroying our democracy, you have failed yourself and your nation.